You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. I'm your host, Jay Schwab. On this 50th anniversary series edition of the Isaka Podcast, we're discussing the culture of volunteerism that has been at the heart of Isaka's growth with Michael Kangemi, a past Isaka board chair and a 40-plus year Isaka volunteer who has held many roles with the organization. Michael, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Jay, for having me.
Can you give our listeners an overview of some of your main roles and responsibilities with Isaka over the years?
Sure thing, Jay. I'm kind of like an Isaka lifer at this point. I started to get involved with Isaka as a chapter president in New York in 1975. And I break my involvement down into five phases after that. Briefly, after serving at the chapter level, I became a vice president of education at Isaka International at a time when we actually were basically the operations of Isaka. In the next phase, I became international president. Great time serving as executive vice president, which was responsibility for Isaka's international regions. And during that phase, of course, I served on the Isaka board. And so when I finished my terms on the board, I took the position of Isaka journal editor, which was a part-time paid position, and continued volunteering. And that kind of led to a point where in my career, we had just sold a company around 2004, and I had more time. And I was hired by the Isaka CEO to be a consultant to her. They called it a luminary position, which involved me with focusing on the SEC, PCAOB, and COSO and other initiatives for Isaka. And then lastly, in the last couple of years, it's kind of interesting, I've had a final phase, maybe it's not final, but I served on the GAC committee and currently am serving very much and enjoying serving on the 50th anniversary Isaka Worldwide Working Group. That is my only official responsibility at this point in time. So thanks, Jay, for asking.
So going back a few decades in time, what prompted you to want to get involved in the first place and then stay involved with Isaka over the long haul?
Yeah, great question. And you're right, we're going back a lot of decades. So if you go back into the first decade of Isaka, there was a huge need for everyone to learn about the emerging fields of IT auditing and security. My firm, I was with a public accounting firm at the time, and my firm supported my involvement. They saw benefits from my learning and understanding the emerging governance issues. And frankly, they saw benefits in terms of business development and exposure for the firm. So I took the position initially as coincidentally chairman of the audit committee of Isaka New York chapter. And a friend of mine from high school actually was the president at the time, John Gatto. And I met some very, very interesting people, including Steve Ross, who became an international president, was involved at that time with the chapter. So it was actually stimulating to not only learn, but to get to know the thought leaders like Steve Ross, who were giving speeches at the time and fairly impressive credentials. That's what got me involved initially. Continuing is kind of interesting because I left public practice and went into the corporate world, where I joined a mining and manufacturing company that certainly didn't have the same self-interest as a public accounting firm would. But I proposed to them that I would really benefit, and so would they, from what I learned and took away from my experiences being involved with Isaka. And also, frankly, I have to say, I cut back my involvement, the time commitments, even though I eventually served as international president, I had to do it in a way that balanced my involvement with Isaka, my learning, and also my first priority, you know, the service to my employer. I managed to stay involved through my whole career, becoming a CFO and becoming a CEO. It's a little more difficult at the CEO level, honestly, but at the CFO level, being part of the control community, I had no difficulty justifying personally my involvement all my time, and for my company, my involvement in all my time, because we both benefited extremely well. And it's evidenced because it never impaired my career. It always enhanced my career.
When you take stock of the spirit of volunteerism that you've witnessed at Isaka over the years, what are some of the main thoughts that come to mind?
It's been an extraordinary example of volunteerism. And let me give the listeners some context. So I was not only involved with ISACA during my career, but I was involved with the Institute of Internal Auditors. I was on their Research Foundation Board for the same reasons. I learned a lot about internal audit. And I was eventually, later in my career, I was CEO of Financial Executives International, the Association for CFOs of Major Significant Companies in America. So I've seen a lot of other not-for-profits. And ISACA and volunteerism was extraordinary, certainly in the first, I'll say, 30 or 35 years. And I'll explain what I think changed a little bit after that. So initially, as I said earlier, I was actually part of the management of ISACA. So we were personally vested in its success. And I have to say that the volunteers that I worked with in those years, let's call it the first three or four decades, were incredible individuals in terms of not only learning and sharing with me information about things like governance and the control community, but also we learned how to manage a business or the business aspects of ISACA, even very, very early when I was audit committee chair. That was a unique experience, even though it was just for a chapter. The shift, I think, started maybe 15, 20 years ago, where we kept getting better and better management teams and more qualified people running ISACA. And there was a shift to handing off that responsibility more to the management, putting volunteers in a more of a traditional, I will say, volunteer capacity, although it still continues. The volunteer, I can't quote numbers anymore, but the amount of people that have been involved and the things that the volunteers have created, like COBIT, many of the education programs, the certification programs, it's just an incredible body of work that was produced by the volunteers at ISACA. And let me close with this. I have not seen anything to come even close to it in any other not-for-profit association. And it might have been in the early years of all of them. You know, when IIA first started, they might have had a similar experience because they started earlier than ISACA. But so it was really interesting to be there for the first part of the first 50 years of ISACA.
Can you put into perspective for our listeners how the passion and commitment of volunteers has translated to so much of the growth and progress over ISACA's 50-year history?
Okay, so I'm going to start off with what I believe has been a big help to ISACA, and then I'll end off with this as well. So ISACA was started at the birth of the technology revolution, you know, one of the great mega trends of the last 50 years. Because of the growth, the simultaneous growth of technology in general, ISACA as an organization sort of had the wind at its back. It still does. I think the wind is now more difficult to manage than it was in the beginning. So we had a continuous need to learn new technologies and then how to audit them. So to give you an example, a fellow of your age can't even imagine what life was like without personal computers. Go back to my time, we first invented a computer that only had one core that would process. So you can only do one process at a time. It was a big deal when that core got segmented into two processors that were, it was dynamically dividing one processor, but it could process two things at a time. It's sort of mind-blowing because of, you know, how we've advanced. There were no networks, so there was no interconnectivity. So to use a couple of examples, I'll use networks. And then after that, we organized data originally in files that were kind of sequentially driven on tape. And then eventually we got database files that could be indexed and searched, right? So if you just think about each decade or even faster than that, new technology came out, like things as profound as networks, databases, things that we take for example today, things that led eventually to the internet and it led eventually to cloud computing. So the wind in the sails of ISACA was never letting up because there was always a new challenge for the people that were volunteering and running it. And I said I'd end also with that same wind at our back. So it's not just the win. The people themselves were somewhat extraordinary. A couple of examples. Sometime late in the 1980, we had a strategic planning meeting. We were having difficulty managing internationally. Not surprising. It's a very challenging thing with distances, different currencies. And I went to a strategic planning meeting at the World Trade Center in New York City. And we came out of that meeting with a plan to remain internationally focused, remain focused on all technologies and the audit and control of them. So it was pretty broad thinking by the people at the time. So we had the wind at our back, but we were also fortunate to have one after the other extraordinary volunteer leaders.
So what's your take on what has motivated those extraordinary volunteers to be so giving with their time and talent and to personally invest so heavily in Isaka?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. I can't obviously be inside each person's motivations, but some of the things that come to my mind are, first of all, the quest to figure it out. So when it came to COVID and all the issues of how to manage the emerging technology, there was an inquisitiveness among the people. So I think we were fortunate that smart people and inquisitive people came to the table. But it's also interesting that we felt really a part of it. And that's the thing that I think may impact it going forward. So because we were new, so there were, let's say, at the time, there were people that became volunteers on committees that then went on, like me, to be a volunteer to help manage the association by, you know, being on the board or president. And when we came back to meetings, we were always invited to updates, and we were actually, you know, they paid for international president to go back to meetings. And I think that they got many times their money's worth for it, because you could have a continuous stream of new volunteers, but they all have a learning curve. Whereas by making a proactive effort to keep the people involved, I think they were getting a benefit from these meetings and from our discussions. Even though I wasn't involved, I would go to a meeting prior to or after a conference or the annual meeting, and we would get into discussions and I would give my opinions. And I think based on the history we had and what was going on in the world and the fact that we had moved on, I mean, I might have been at that point a CEO of a company. I had different perspectives and different things to offer. And I think it becomes, not to criticize current times, I think it just becomes a matter of how do you manage the enormous size of the former volunteer base. That's why I was very surprised in the second part of my fifth phase, or my last phase. I hope it's not my last phase, but my the phase I'm in right now, when I was invited to be back on GAC and to be part of this 50th anniversary committee, you know, I was delighted to serve in those capacities. Now it sort of hit me at a time where I was slowing down my work career and had a little bit more time. So it actually worked out very well. So I think Isaka is unique in terms of the volunteer history and the success.
Is there an example or two of a certain volunteer contribution you've observed over the years that made you think, wow, I can't believe that person was willing to do that? And this could apply to yourself as well.
Let's go back to the beginning. We started a certification program called the CISA, and John Lainhart, even though he had been international president, done all sorts of things, maybe he hadn't even become international president at that point. He took on the vice president of certification roles. Kind of funny, we called each other vice president of this and that. These were little fledgling departments and volunteers were running them, but he was vice president of certification. And you've heard the story that we made the offering for the first exam, and the mailman came to his door and said, I have a bag of mail he was carrying on his shoulder. And he said, where do you want me to put it? And John said, what is that? And he said, it's Isaka mail. And you could tell the stage we were in, it was being delivered to his house. So John, you know, he got kind of excited and opened the door and pointed to his foyer or living room and said, you know, put it there. And he goes, well, I got five more of these bags. And those bags were the beginning of the certification program. It was really how we funded the growth of the certification program. So John Lainhart was just a treasure to know, unfortunately passed away a few years ago. We became very good friends. Our family, you know, became linked. He then went on to work on COBIT and worked on it until he was come back from a COBIT meeting near the time he passed away. So he was still volunteering. And he and Eric Guldentops, who is considered the father of COBIT and may have contributed to that particular project even more than John Lainhart. Well, let me give another example. I was editor in chief of the Isaka Journal for 20 years, so I can't take credit as a volunteer, although I was paid a nominal amount of money for the work, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I did it for 20 years, and then I said, you know, I wasn't asked to leave. I said, let me leave while I'm on top. And 20 years service to Isaka's journal was a record I thought would never be touched. During my last couple of years, Steve Ross became an editor of the Isaka Journal as well, focusing on IT security. His specialty was way in the depth of knowledge in that space was way above mine. And he became the editor of the column that's still in the magazine now called IS Security. And not too long ago, I think Steve passed 20 years or 25 years in volunteering to produce that advice every issue for the Isaka Journal. So, I mean, I don't know how many organizations could have examples like that. And for me, lastly, and I'll try to make it quickly, I just happened to be in the right place at the right time when the CACS conference came up for sale. You know the story, and people could read the written interview that you did of me on that subject. We had no money. It was for sale for $1 million. We didn't have any money in the bank, and our revenue and expenses were pretty well matched. I politely met with him 3 or 4 times over a period of 2 years, and ultimately we bought the conference on a deal that really helped me learn to my first M&A experience, where we put down like $35,000 in cash and bought the conference for a percentage of revenue, which was kind of creative on our part, until we paid him hundreds of thousands of dollars. It was a deal. During my later years, I found out from the controller of Isaka that 1 year the conference has made over $1 million. So it was a great experience, and I'm really happy for Isaka. And it helped me, I guess, in my career, because I don't know how I can translate that knowledge into specific experiences, but I did a lot of deals during the latter part of my career in the fashion industry.
How often do you think personal relationships come into play as an extra incentive for volunteers in terms of being involved in projects with people they really enjoy working with and even developing friendships in some cases?
We're talking about individuals, and each person's going to be motivated by different things. And you ask a very interesting question, and I'll give you experiences from what I've seen. And I'm going to give a little bit of advice to the listeners who are a lot younger than me. So when I got started, I mentioned earlier, it was about learning. And I always felt there was a connection to my learning and the value that the time brought to my company. But I was also always very judicious with my company's time that I spent with Isaka, and also my own time, because my kids could tell you birthdays that I've missed to go to Isaka meetings. So each person's different. I had a very lucky career because I'm one of those people that feels like I never really worked a day in my life because I enjoyed everything that I was doing. And I also had a very self-initiated work ethic. To me, if work is fun, you don't mind doing more of it. So I got the payback. It sort of fit in with my personality and my own personal interest to grow myself. So those are the skills that can position you, if you get as lucky as I was, to get the opportunity to be a CEO someday in your life. There's no CEO school. Most people come from a discipline either in that of operations or finance. So as the CFO of a fashion company, there were a lot of people that didn't think I was qualified to run a fashion company. But by taking that broad interest, so I was interested in finance, obviously, and I was interested in technology, and technology began to interface even with fashion. You know, CAD systems were coming out, the internet came out. So then you mentioned relationships. I don't think that I was motivated as much by the relationships, but even though I wasn't motivated by it, the payback has been extraordinary. If I'm on a bank board now, and I just an advisory board, but if I have a question about a bank, I just look at my Isaka friends that have worked at banks as head of IT security, and I've got a great Rolodex and a great relationship where I can call on them. And as in the case of John Lainhart, I've known many of these people. I've known them for 40 years. And in many cases, our kids know their kids. We've traveled to conferences together. So I think the relationship, as you pointed out in your question, is important and certainly has been a benefit for me. But I don't think it was one of the core. I didn't go to meetings to make friends. You know, sort of like Jim Cramer, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. I was driven by my career and by learning and by my own interest in learning.
All right. And before we finish up, for our listeners who might not be aware, Isaka recently conducted its first annual Community Day volunteering event. where ISACA chapters, members, and staff from all around the world volunteered in a variety of ways to make a difference in their local communities. How important will it be for ISACA going forward for that spirit of volunteerism that we've discussed today to continue and evolve?
I think it's remarkable, this Community Day. ISACA always surprises me in a positive way. I was involved with the She Leads Tech panel for ISACA New Jersey chapter this month, or I guess it was last month. And that's an initiative I hadn't, you know, really known much about. So it was fascinating. So I think you and me and the people that have been involved in the 50th and collecting information on ISACA's history have become awakened to how valuable and how different the volunteer contributions have been over the decades. And I'm glad to see it lead to something like Community Day and volunteering events. I think, you know, the staff that's been involved with us, people of history, have, I think, gained some insights into it from all of this that I'm very happy and happy to have shared. And I trust that ISACA, its team, its management team, and its current volunteer leadership will understand and find new ways to propel volunteerism into the future in a very successful way.
Michael, thank you so much, not only for your time today, but for your volunteer contributions at ISACA spanning more than four decades.
You're welcome. I enjoy it, and good luck.
That's our program for today. For more on ISACA's volunteer program and to learn more about volunteer opportunities, visit engage.isaca.org. And for more on ISACA's 50th anniversary, visit isaca50.org.